Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The tennis world is once again in an empire state of mind. The best in the world won't be satisfied with anything other than conquering the concrete jungle.
The most amazing thing to me about Novak is, as great as he is, he doesn't back down from any challenges. He thrives on that.
New York, known for its bagels, so is Iga. This is just a match made in heaven.
There's, you know, a few players at the top now that we're looking at favorites. It's not just Swiatek, and I think that's a good thing.
The summer of Coco has been heating up. Is the time now for Gauff's first major title?
Someone talk me off this. I think Coco time.
So many American flags out there. The most important thing is the mental disposition for all the players, in particular for Taylor at this, his national event.
You know, when Fo goes to work, people enjoy it.
The tennis calendar rolls on and
totally. It's going to be a great 2 weeks.
TC Live at the U.S. Open. The skyline of New York City is unmistakable. Buildings rise from the earth shoulder to shoulder, each one trying to fight for your attention. Much like the field at the U.S. Open, the view is constantly evolving. New marvels are being built while old legends get refurbished. So who will stand out from the crowd? Arthur Ashe Stadium, a great observation deck. Today's sights range from teams to titans. Coco Gauff starting off against 16-year-old Mira Andreeva, followed by 23-time major champ Novak Djokovic. The night session featuring Francis Tiafoe, a man who can match the electricity of this city. And a couple major champs finish the day with Petra Kvitova and Caroline Wozniacki. Players coming on site, getting ready to go. There is Stefanos Tsitsipas trying to reach the third round for the third time. That's his best result thus far in New York City. And how about Coco Gauff, highest-ranked teenager in the world? Checking out how many views her latest TikTok has. She's going to face the youngest teen in the top 200, Mira Andreeva. As we bring you into our studios, Paul Anacone, big on the TikTok as well. Great to have you here with us.
The candy TikTok.
The TikToks, the TikToks. John Wertheim, Chanda Rubin, Steve Weissman, that is Paul Anacone. And we are going to get you set for big second-round matches today. Paul, what was your thought on day two?
I just thought there was wall-to-wall excitement, lots of different things going on, a little bit of an anticlimactic evening, which was tough. Felt bad that Venus wasn't at her best. We saw her play some great tennis just a couple weeks ago. And then whenever you get a chance to play a great player like Alcaraz, when you have an injury early on, that is a heartbreaker. Yeah. And that was a tough one for Kepler.
Yeah, I think things were tough on Stadium Court yesterday. Fans may not have felt like they got their money's worth because there were some one-sided matches. But if you were on the court where Dimitrov got through, saved the match points, Grigor Dimitrov came back from two sets to love down for the first time in his career to win in five sets, that was the match of the day. That was a great one.
You just talked about the teenagers that we're going to be watching today, yesterday. Pretty good day all around for players in their late 30s, men especially. Stan Wawrinka, Andy Murray, Gael Monfils, we'll be getting to those. But I think we talk about the diversity in this sport, or we talk about race diversity, biodiversity. We talk enough about ages now? You used to be 30 is the new 20. Now it's like teenagers is the new 20, but also 30. And the fact that you can have a 20-year career now in this sport, I think is a big plot point that maybe we don't talk about enough.
Absolutely. And how about players that are coming back? New moms, like Caroline Wozniacki. We got a great match coming up today, Chanda.
Here we go.
Between two major champs. First match of the tournament between major champs, Petra Kvitova, Caroline Wozniacki. There won't be any more until at least the fourth round. What do you think about this one?
I'm looking forward to this one. This is obviously a matchup that goes way back, but the last time they played was about 5 years ago or so. And It was Wozniacki who was able to win that matchup. Very familiar players. The question is, where will Wozniacki be in this comeback? This is just her third tournament back. Kvitova has been in some nice form this year, and it can be tough if you're not quite ready for that pace and that speed. But I give Wozniacki a good shot, and I'm looking forward to a good match.
Totally. 12 years ago, they were 1-2. So talk about longevity.
Yeah.
These are the top two players in the world more than a decade ago.
Yeah, for 13 weeks. It was those two, and now they're playing second round at the U.S. Open. August 30th, it is a big day for birthdays in the tennis world. Happy 100th birthday to Hall of Famer, 1954 U.S. Open champ Vic Satius, John, the oldest living Grand Slam singles champ in the world.
That's fantastic. Former North Carolina Tar Heel, I believe. This guy was hitting balls in New York City not that long ago with a 9 starting his age. So happy birthday, Vic Satius. Many more.
Been alive for 17 U.S. presidents. Calvin Coolidge all the way to Joe Biden. And on this day, the birth of our own Andy Roddick. Happy 41st to the Hall of Famer, 2003 U.S. Open champ.
Paul? I just cannot believe that he's 41 years of age. I remember just a short while ago watching him hit Pete Sampras in the chest with a body serve in Miami as he was starting to become Andy Roddick. And I said, this guy's got a pretty good serve. If you can't get out of the way of it and at least deflect it, be able to hit Pete in the chest with a body serve. And, of course, as a coach, I said, that's why you got to use the body serve. You got to tie up players. Happy birthday, Andy. Hope you have a great one with the family.
Go to the body. Do yourself a favor. Spend 15 minutes. Go to GQ.com and read the profile.
Article.
Right? Am I right?
Great article.
Great read. Good for Andy for that kind of candor and access, and good for the writer for delivering.
Sean Manning doing a great job with that profile.
Love it. And Andy, 41 years young. He's still a baby. No, he's that young, but it's been fun to see him transition to, you know, giving his opinions on, obviously, on Tennis Channel. And we just love working with him.
We do.
So, you know, anytime, come back to the studio.
Good man.
Hope you are sipping on some Sweetens Cove, hanging out with the family, and celebrating yourself, Andy. You deserve it. Happy, happy birthday. Lots of love from your TC family. Well, Vic Satius, he turns 100 today. Venus Williams played her 100th match at the U.S. Open yesterday. We will hear from Queen V. Plus, top seed on the men's side, Carlos Alcaraz, beginning his quest to repeat as champion with no sleeves and a short night. Plus, Mo Money, no problems for Michael Mo. How the Americans scored a big upset. And we continue to honor the WTA's 50th anniversary with a look at how it became a global success. We're just getting going here on TC Live.
TC Live at the U.S. Open is brought to you in part by Tennis Point, the official racket sports retailer of the ATP Tour.
Chad and John Ball and Steve back on TC Live, leading up to first ball on day 3 in New York City at the U.S. Open. Engine number 9 on the New York Transit line. Jessie Pegula looking to pick up her 9th win over Camilla Giorgi, John, and get her U.S. Open quest on the right track.
Yeah, we thought this one might be close. It was not close. Jessie Pegula played like the third seed that she is. You'll see it from the highlights. Also, look at the stacking. 90% of the first serve points won. More than half of her return points won. A lot of errors for Giorgi, as is the case. A lot of steady tennis for Jessie. Look at the touch here. That's a nice knockoff volley, but she did not necessarily have to be at her best yesterday the way Giorgi was spraying balls, but Jessie was at her best. She has to be really pleased about that. Barely an hour's worth of work, very straightforward, 6-2, 6-2. On she goes.
Joining Venus and Serena Williams is the third American woman since 2010 with at least 59 hardcourt wins over two seasons. And speaking of Venus, Queen V headlining the night session inside Arthur Ashe Stadium facing qualifier Breet Minnen. She had a 24th appearance for V at the U.S. Open.
And Venus won her first 21 first-round matches. This one, she would go down again. Minnen played some excellent tennis. She was moving the ball, doing just what she needed to do against Venus, who didn't quite have the movement. The drop shot was working, couldn't get out onto the edges of the court and recover quickly enough. And in the end, it was, you know, a player who's in a rhythm, qualifier coming through, able to get the biggest win of her career.
Had 14 more winners in the match, saved all 6 break points. Let's go inside the press room with Venus Williams after.
For me, I haven't played a lot of matches this year. So the times that I could play, I gave it my all. You know, I got a handful of matches, and it wasn't the year I was expecting, but I gave it everything I had.
What would be the decisive factor in when you choose what you do next? And what would it be?
I wouldn't tell you, so I don't know why you're asking.
We love an honest B.
She said it with a smile. It kind of blunted the pain of it.
not telling you, so not sure why you're asking.
The answer is anyway.
Right.
Because you don't know. You don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Did she know at that moment?
Right. I don't know.
This was not a great performance by Venus objectively last night.
She beat a top 15 player 2 weeks ago. So, you know, she doesn't know. This is what happens. Consistency is the first thing to go as you... as you age.
And movement too, John. Yeah, and that was, for me, the big difference. Even the win against Kudermetova, where you could see Venus, you know, able to move, able to get out of the corners and kind of recover, reset. She couldn't do that last night against Menon, who played just the perfect type of match that she needed to play. So things kind of coming together, unfortunately, for Venus in that moment, and she just couldn't make much of a stand. But that would be the question for me physically. Was she as close to 100%? Was that an issue? She did pull out of Cleveland the week before because of for physical issues. So I was concerned about that aspect of it. It was disappointing.
Yeah, we see the up and down at the end of the career in terms of the ability to stay at a real high level, physically in particular. And you talk about last week not being able to play. So clearly there wasn't something going just right for Venus. But, John, you said it just a couple of weeks ago. She played some pretty darn good tennis. So it's not like the level is never there. It just goes up and down a little bit now.
If you didn't see the outfit that she came onto site with last night, go online and check it out. I mean, you won't see anything better the entire tournament.
That's exactly what I wore into work today.
One thing it made you change.
All right. Moving on.
I like this look better on you.
Carlos kicked off the title defense.
This was a tough one, you guys, last night. This is what happened after Venus, as Carlos went on that first game, 6 points in. Watch the ankle right there, the left ankle. Ooh. That is a tough one for Kepfer. Goes over on it, and it looked pretty benign when you watched the point, but then you saw it in slow motion, and you could see he just struggled, just couldn't get going, couldn't push off, talking to his box, talking to Coach Ryan Williams up in the box there. What do I do? How do I play a guy this good? And I can't move, and movement's one of his biggest assets. And for Alcaraz, it was just a little bit of a hit around the corner, right? Just kind of got a little hit in, hit a few balls here and there, 6-2 first set, 3-1 the second. Really not much Kepfer could do, and he really decided at this point, you know what, guys, I just can't do it. Really a heartbreaker for him.
Did you hear that bzzz the entire match?
You guys, I want you to know that look at the comparison there. Does he have to pay any rights fees for any of the TV stuff? Because it's the...
Is that control room.
Is that... Yeah. Huska, do we get any fees from that? I mean, look at the contrast in the shirt. Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that.
We got
the
back
end. Okay. That's awesome.
TV went off. Well done, it's over. Huska. Match is over. And...
Yeah.
His shirt showed it.
And he was done. This is another one of those matches, you know, that didn't last too long, Chanda. Daniil Medvedev setting up his own bakery inside Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Was Ballas hurt?
You know, we tend to think that. He just couldn't quite move shots like that one where he couldn't get to. It was one of 40-plus winners for Medvedev over the course of the match. Just over an hour of tennis. And he just had his pick of places to go to all match long. And in the end,
yikes,
pretty routine for Medvedev. He's a great hard court player, but this match kind of looked like his opponent was a little hampered.
Can I steal a line from you? Two breadsticks and a bagel?
Yeah.
That's a lot of carbs.
Let's see. He was carving up. He's ready to go. That's what we're having tonight at your house, right, Paul?
Yeah, okay.
All the carbs, all the noodles. Elizabeth's going to cook a great meal. New York Love and Andy Murray, 2012 champ in action against Quarantine Moutet.
And he was on the ropes in the second set. Moutet served for this second set. Look at the little magic. First, there were smiles from Moutet. Then there was anger and a lot of...
jawing with the box, and boom goes the racket. And Andy says, not yet, gang. I am still here. I am fighting. So fun to see Andy Murray when he gets locked in and does the nice thing with the balance, which Moutet does not have. This was a little bit scary, but then I looked in slow motion, guys, and the ankle didn't really go over. I was more worried about his arm when he hit the elbow down on the court. But he got up, and it wasn't too long later that Andy took him down for the count and won in straight sets. Murray did a good job. It's fun to watch him with that balance of offense and defense when he plays it just right, and that's what he did.
200th major victory for Andy Murray. Well, we come back with his wife and kids on court and a big farewell ceremony. See why John Isner is not ready to end his final dance. Back on TC Live, a reminder to download the U.S. Open app to follow your favorite players, track the latest scores, stats, match highlights, player news, and much more. It is available in the App Store and Google Play Store. Back to the highlights. A little rain there in Queens, by the way. Time for the Gems Life highlights. We start with Sky's mom, former U.S. Open semifinalist Elena Svitolina, needing less than an hour to finish her work on court, Chanda.
Things were a bit tight at this point, but it was Svitolina up a break, and she started playing much more aggressively, coming in, hitting out on her shots from the ground. I mean, this is a step up in the Svitolina we saw before she became a mom, and it was working. It was paying off for her. Stepping in on that backhand, that is the money shot for Svitolina, such a solid part of her game. And when she's firing on all cylinders this way, combined with the movement and her ability to compete, it made for a fairly routine day at the office, getting done in straight sets.
Now back in the top 25 of the live rankings just 4 months after coming off maternity leave. Meanwhile, Sky's papa also working on Tuesday, also on court 17. Gael Monfils-John needing a little more time on court against Taro Daniel.
Yeah, Sky's nanny didn't have to go far. With the first section, here come the his. Dropped the first set, did Monfils, who, like his wife, is a former semifinalist at this event, and then really turned it on. I think he's got to be thrilled by the score line, by the stat line. He had 23 aces, 68 winners. But I think he also has to be happy with the rhythms of this match. He just got better and better. And for the second oldest player in the draw, he did great physically. We had some showboat shots. We had some fun rallies. Very, very solid win over a tough competitor in Taro Daniel. And for Gael Monfils, I don't know if he has seven matches in him, but he's got a few more. Very solid outing yesterday, guys.
Successful day for mom and dad. Gems Life shining. Monfils gets Andrei Rublev in the next round. How about John Isner? He had all his kids around for his match against Facundo Diaz Acosta. But there is no retirement yet for the big man, Paul.
Yeah, you see the big sigh just going onto the court, trying to probably catch his breath and remain focused. He just wanted to end just yet. And that's a good way to start off the match. Really did what he always does. Takes care of his service games. Gets the first set. Yes, guys, gets up a set and 3-0 without a tiebreak.
Wow,
that doesn't happen often, but he was playing some good power tennis with John Isner, using the big forehand, and he gave the fans what they wanted in the third set, gang. He said, you know what, I got to throw in one tiebreak for this match. How about the two-handed pass? He was hitting the ball incredibly cleanly, looked very loose and relaxed, which is tough to do when all this is on the line to finish it.
Didn't face a break point, but almost broke down after the match with James Blake.
This sport, as I said, without tennis, I wouldn't have met my wife. And I wouldn't have the amazing family that I have. Four beautiful kids. The support I've had for the last 17 years on tour has been amazing, and it's not goodbye yet. So I'm still alive. And you know, I'm actually feeling pretty good. So I want to try to keep this thing going as long as I possibly can, and I'm going to need you guys behind me every step of the way. Please, thank you.
The ceremony's out of the way. So now he can just, you know, go back to work, right? He's got Michael Moe next. He's still playing doubles with Jack Sock as well. What's it like knowing that every match could potentially be your last one?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I didn't actually play in that kind of situation. My last match at the U.S. Open, I didn't know when I was playing it that it was going to be my last. So I think there's a certain beauty in that, the fact that he's able to decide and go out on his own terms. But at the same time, you've got all this emotion that you come into every single match with, and certainly the first one, where you want to get over the hurdle. You want to at least get your first match under your belt. Isner was able to do that. So I would imagine he can relax a little bit more, play the kind of tennis we've seen him play throughout his career, which is big man's tennis, big serving, attacking tennis. That's the type of tennis he'll need to play against Mo, but it's a great opportunity for him to keep progressing in the draw.
Yeah, well, we talked about this a little bit with Venus. You know, a team sport, it's easy, right? It's my last year. Here's my last game. Here it is on the schedule. With tennis, individual sports, who knows? So on the one hand, you saw it in the background, Sam Querrey and the Bryans were there, and it was going to be a ceremony. On the other hand, he's thinking, wait a second, I'm up two sets to love. I'm serving pretty well. Why are we having this ceremony? I'm going to keep going here. So I think it just goes to this point. It's really hard to make these decisions for athletes, and I think we need to give them a lot of grace, both in terms of making that decision and then playing through it.
Yeah, you have to give them a little bit of latitude in terms of figuring out how and when they're going to do it. And for a guy like John Isner, look, he's one of these players that he has such a huge weapon that no one wants to play him ever, and it's not going to be easy. So now he has a terrific opportunity. Like you guys said, he's gotten past that first match where everyone was there. Is this going to be it? No, it's not it. Now he gets to loosen up and play Michael Moe, who's a great defender, really good mover and counterpuncher, but it's a good matchup for John, so it should be a fun one.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And 11 more aces to that record-extending total for John Isner in the match, and he'll add more against Michael Moe as well, for sure. Well, from the veterans to the youngsters, smells like teen spirit in New York City. Let's preview some matches going on today. We got Coco Gauff taking on Mira Andreeva. This is a rematch from Roland Garros. That one went three sets, Chanda. And young Mira says, I want some revenge. How do you see this one going?
You know, I think, you know, it should be another good match. I think Coco, she used her maturity in that match at Roland Garros. Andreeva came out firing, using her full game. Gauff able to reset and really settle into the match. I think this match now will be a little easier because they played at Roland Garros and there was so much buildup around it. I think the hard courts also favor Gauff a little bit more. The slower clay gave Andreeva some more opportunities to get into points and into rallies. She doesn't have a big weapon, and Gauff does. Gauff can take the racket out of the opponent's hand with her serve. She's hitting bigger from the ground. So I think that's going to be the way to go for her. But Andreeva, if she can get Gauff missing a little bit, if she can get her just a little unsettled, she's got a good shot in this match as well. So I'm looking forward to it. But I've liked how Gauff has looked overall mentally.
Coco's looked amazing. Also, remember at Roland Garros, Mira was like, I want to play on the big courts. Now she gets Arthur Ashe Stadium against
the biggest court
in the world. That should be a good one to watch. Another rematch from the clay court season. Dominic Thiem beat Ben Shelton in Estoril. What do you think happens on the hard courts?
What do you think about that one? A little lefty-righty, former champion. What do you think?
I'm leaning towards Ben on the hard courts, guys. I mean, Ben's got a great opportunity for revenge here, right? He can use the lefty serve, try to swing Thiem off the court. Remember, it's so great to see Thiem win his first round match, right? But he hasn't won a lot of 3 out of 5 set matches. This is a different Dominic Thiem right now. He's always dangerous. But to me, this is on Ben Shelton's racket. If he plays well, he wins this match.
Trying to get some more bragging rights on his dad, Brian, as well, who never made it past the second round in New York. Ben has the opportunity to do that at the U.S. Open. And then Daria Saville, she's taken on Iga Swiatek, John. She said before the match, my goal is not to get double bageled. So set the expectation, set the bar low, right?
That's one way to look at it.
It's got to be higher than that. Yeah. See, her goals.
That's what she said.
Under promise, over deliver.
I like it.
Interesting mentality before you go and face the defending champion, the Moscow-born Aussie. She just doesn't have any weapons to hurt Iga with. Iga can be vulnerable to certain kinds of players. She sure looked good in her first match, but it's hard to see. I think give her some games. Daria Saville will not get double bagged. I said it here. That's how cool
that is. Way to go out on a limb. That's awesome.
I don't know if she's pushing the defending champion much, though. I just don't see how.
She's had some upsets. She's had 13 top 10 wins. A lot of injury issues for Dasha, right? I mean, 62 matches over the last 5 years. This will be the 63rd match this year for Iga Swiatek, but looking forward to it. Well, we've got upset predictions later in the show, and this is what we have for you coming up every day. TC Live, the four of us, 9 a.m. Eastern, leading up to coverage on ESPN at noon Eastern, the night session at 7 Eastern, and more of the Big Show coming up after a quick break.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to TC Live. Taylor Fritz and Francis Tiafoe leading Team World against Stefano Tsitsipas, Casper Ruud, and Team Europe in Vancouver, Canada for the 2023 Laver Cup. Don't miss Tennis Channel's exclusive live coverage of the three-day event. It begins Friday, September 22nd. Cannot wait for that. Well, we are leading up to first ball in New York City, and USOpen.org is your online home for point-by-point live scoring, highlights, real-time stats, and draws. Visit the official tournament site at usopen.org today. Steve Weissman back in our studios. Former U.S. Open semifinalist and doubles champion Coco Vandeweghe was honored last night, as she'll be retiring after the tournament. Vandeweghe got to 9 in the world and helped lead Team USA to the Fed Cup title back in 2017. She's making one last run in doubles this year with Sophia Kenin, and we wish Coco all the best. Don't miss your chance at $100,000. Play Tennis Channel's Racket Bracket and choose the match winners in Flushing Meadows. Win cash prizes, including $50,000 jackpots for picking a perfect men's or women's bracket. Scan this QR code on your screen or visit tennis.com/play to enter. And hurry, the deadline is today at 11 a.m. Eastern. For a look at today's forecast in Queens, here's Fox Weather.
I'm Fox Weather's Jane Minar, and here's today's U.S. Open forecast. Our pros can expect a few morning showers, temps in the mid-80s, and high humidity. You can download Fox Weather or watch Fox Weather on your favorite connected TV device, like Samsung Plus TV, channel 1010. Always on, always free.
Thanks, Jane. When we come back, Leslie Allen tells us how the WTA became a global phenomenon. It's a golden jubilee, and we're celebrating all year long. Ruben Anacone, Wertheim, and Weissman back on TC Live at the U.S. Open. It's cloudy. Jane Minar told you about it. Well, on Monday night, the U.S. Open held a beautiful ceremony to honor Billie Jean King on the 50th anniversary of the tournament, giving equal prize money to the men and women. Michelle Obama gave an awesome speech. Sarah Bareilles sang. And we continue paying tribute to that legacy with Chapter 8 of our year-long celebration of the WTA's Golden Jubilee.
When the WTA Tour first started in the early 70s with the dream to be global, the vast majority of tournaments were played in North America and Europe. The tour's top players were white, mostly Americans and Australians, along with a sprinkling of contenders from a few European countries. But beginning in the 80s, an increasing number of nations and continents and people of color began to hit the tennis radar screen in a big way. All the opportunities were in the United States, and we knew that. But our goals were always to be global. We always wanted to have this far reach.
We have over 1,600 players from 85 different regions of the world, so the diversity is significant when you think about the 30-plus countries and the 50-plus events that we have each and every year on a global basis. It really, truly does get that reach and something that we're very proud of.
Definitely, I'm privileged to be playing WTA and give women the chance to prove themselves and play tennis all over the world, and definitely even more proud to help, you know, the generation from my country to play this amazing sport.
If you want to be a professional tennis player, you better be comfortable spending lots of time on airplanes. That's become even more the case in recent decades. Players will often compete in different continents over the course of a single month. No matter where WTA players go, though, they're certain to play in front of passionate fans who savor the chance to watch these athletes up close.
Tennis is probably one of the biggest sports for women all around the world. And you met some great fans, and one is taking good care of me, sending me a good drawing and a good little piece of support at home. And it's really good to have all this support all around the world.
I've always said you kind of have to see it to be it. And what's amazing about women's tennis, it still is the leader globally in women's sports. And I think so many of the players are on a one-name basis. Billie Jean, Chrissy, Martina, Lena, Maria, Serena, Venus, Monica. So I think our sport has done an incredible job in getting the players known. And I think that's because of that day in 1973 where we all came together as one voice.
It's kind of like now with women sportscasters. You don't bat an eye now when you see a woman doing sport. And now you don't bat an eye when you see a woman of color on the tennis court. And it's not just African Americans, of all color.
The WTA has inspired and empowered people around the globe. As a former player, board member, and fan of women's tennis, I'm excited to see how the WTA will continue to expand its global footprint. For Tennis Channel, I'm Leslie Allen.
Thanks so much, Leslie. Pretty cool. If you look at the top 10 right now, 8 different countries are represented. So you go from Poland and Tunisia to Kazakhstan, Greece. Of course, you get the U.S. in there as well. But what's your reaction to that piece?
I think that's been one of the most beautiful parts of the WTA over the last 50 years. It's the reach that has expanded. And I remember, you know, coming up as a little girl and, you know, being able to start seeing women playing in a professional sport, and I only could grasp maybe just the edges of it, but coming up through the sport and as a player, it's just been phenomenal, the growth. And I think it's critical, you know, for young girls, young people, to be able to see themselves in different aspects of the women's tour, and I think that will just continue to grow. So it's fun to watch a piece like this and kind of look back on all of it as well.
Like that was the piece. Hey, it was either Billie Jean or Alana Clough said to see it to be it. But also, it's not just that the players come from everywhere; it's the tour goes everywhere, and we've got events in 6 continents. That happens, and it's not surprising you have players from 6 continents. And we think about, you know, a Tunisian beats a Colombian. We don't even think twice about it anymore. It's so ingrained into the sport that the field comes from everywhere.
And you forget how global it is. I mean, for me, it's just an amazing evolution as a little kid to watch how things have grown, both in men's and women's game. But when you look back at all the stuff that Billie Jean in particular, she has done to kind of lay the groundwork and lay the growth and the seeds, so to speak, across the globe to make this something that all these young girls want to pursue, it's incredible. And you look at where it's gone, how it's grown. And when you keep those things in mind, you can't thank the people enough, like Billie Jean King and all those good folks that did so much great work to have the product that's out there today.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And you know, I also, you know, the point is also, you know, the friendships that you form, players from all of these different countries, from all parts of the world, people that you might not have ever gotten a chance to speak to. And yet, as part of the women's tour, as a professional athlete traveling the globe, you get to expand yourself in those ways too. So it's just so many positives, and it's going to continue. Let's keep it going.
Speaking of continue, John, where do you think it can go next? How much more can it grow?
It's a great question. I mean, I think Africa is a continent. Entrepreneur is just sort of tip of the spear. I mean, Africa is a continent that I think tennis and a lot of sports, we see in the NBA, are really trying to
capitalize on. But I mean, it's what does it take? It takes a piece of asphalt that's level. It takes a net and a couple rackets, and you can do that in a lot of places on the planet.
Yeah, look, I think the expansion part has always been very quizzical to me, right? Because it's been an elitist sport, as we all know, for so long. But when you break it down like you just did, John, and you see so many people philanthropically that are trying to do so much to grow the game, and we have these wonderful federations around the world, and we have a lot of possibility for growth, mm-hmm. we have to figure out how to put it together to make sure that those seeds are watered, so to speak. But, you know, Africa is a great place to start. I think it would be awesome to see some of the growth that's possible down there as well.
Pretty awesome. Chapter 8, and we will have Chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12 as we continue to celebrate 50 years of the WTA. And that global reach, it is being tested currently. John has details on where the WTA finals could be held later this year. You don't want to miss that when we come back on TC Live. Welcome back. Last year, the WTA finals were held at Dickies Arena in Fort Worth, Texas. Everybody got cowboy boots, hats. Caroline Garcia rode off with the biggest title of her career. She beat Aryna Sabalenka in the final for her fourth title of the season. But her prize money wasn't even half of what Ash Barty got when she won the WTA finals 3 years earlier. Take a look at this. At the time, that $4.42 million was the single largest prize in tennis history. Past couple years, Muguruza, Garcia have not come close to matching that as the WTA left China. Now, where are they going this year for the WTA finals? It still has not been announced, and we're about 2 months away from the WTA final. Last year, we didn't find out about Fort Worth, Texas until 6 weeks before. John, you've been all over this story for Sports Illustrated. What is the very latest on where the WTA will hold its year-end championships?
As we speak, there are WTA board meetings going on in New York, and it could be as soon as today that this gets voted on. I'm told that, Saudi Arabia is not the only bid, but it is the leader in the clubhouse. Here we see the WTA, I've been told already, has a crisis management firm on hand to dispense talking points. Obviously, the Saudi bid will be controversial, especially, as you say, Steve, coming off of China. Well, remember, the WTA left China on these sort of ethical principle grounds. These values don't align with ours. It's potentially problematic, at least in the eyes of some, to then end up in another authoritarian country with some human rights issues, but it does seem, I'm being told, it looks like Saudi Arabia is as good as done.
What does it tell you, Chanda, if you have already hired a crisis management team before you've made a decision?
It tells me, you know, this is going to be a bit of a tough sell, and you want to do a bit of damage control ahead of time. You want to manage any of the negativity. And this is a tough one when you consider the WTA. It is the organization for a premier sport for women. And its platform is based on equality and women's empowerment. And how do you justify going to a country where for so long that has not been the case for women? And things are changing. They're going in a positive direction. There are more rights that women are getting. And, you know, that's a positive. But is it enough to justify holding such a big event, a crown jewel, really, in women's tennis in that country? That's the question for me. And there's a lot of things that I think have to be discussed. Players have to understand the ramifications and all of the different factors. And there's not a lot of time, you know, to get a handle on it. I mean, that is, you mentioned 2 months away. It is crazy when you think about how quickly that can come and go. And it's just tough to kind of fathom where things will be and how all of this will shape out within that time frame.
And the players are going to be the ones on the front lines answering the questions about going there, if they do that. And a couple legends of the tour, our own Martina Navratilova, has spoken out against it. It's hard to believe I'm getting crap for saying I would not go play in Saudi Arabia. Chris Evert tweeted, take less money, do the right thing. What do you think, Paul? You
look, I think that's one of the biggest issues involved, is that these players are going to be the folks on the front line that are going to have to deal with whatever the decision is. And most of the players have such little information about it. Look, it's a long time ago, but I was on the player council. I was on the player board of directors of the ATP. I understand the mechanics of how all that works, but the players are in front of the microphone all the time. So they're going to be answering a lot of hard questions that is going to be very difficult for them to answer. I think we only have such a small amount of information. The prize money, from what I understand, regardless of where the other options are, isn't going to be that much difference. We saw the big discrepancy from a few years back. I don't think it's going to be that big of a hit for the players. But what we don't know is all the other payments that go out to the organizations, to consultants, to all the other people that are getting remuneration for their skills, for what they do, and also what it costs to run the tour. So it's more than just a prize money issue. It's more than just a player issue. The players have the microphone, but there's so much involved. You talk about women's rights, and also human rights is an issue there, too. I mean, there's, in general, there's a lot of things that have to be addressed. We saw what happened with the PGA Tour when they went through it. It is a really complex equation, and the powers that be have an unbelievable amount of pressure to make a good decision. The biggest thing for me is, how the heck do you do it, the clock ticking this fast?
Yeah, I mean, the time is running out on making a decision. What are the other options that the WTA has? What other cities are putting in bids, John?
Yeah, there are other cities that have made bids. I'm told there's a bid from Mexico. There's a bid from Washington, D.C., which is less money up front, but is more of a share the risk, share the reward. And there is a bid from Prague. Very intriguing. There are a lot of top players from the Czech Republic. It's a lot closer to the home bases of many of the eligible players. The one sticking point is that the Czech Republic, it's unclear whether they will allow athletes from Belarus and Russia. This is obviously in response to the Ukraine invasion, but can the WTA go to a country that doesn't necessarily allow everyone in the country? The flip side is Saudi Arabia, well documented what the human rights issues are. Homosexuality is criminalized there. We had Daria Kazakina said she wished she played for the flag of the rainbow flag. So it's really a tight set. And I also think 2 months out, that does a lot to undercut your negotiating leverage. I mean, I think the host cities know that there's an element of desperation. But also, as you say, Chanda, who's going to go there and make sure that all the attire is going to be acceptable? Right? We had WWE was in Saudi Arabia and female wrestlers had to change their outfits. Who's going to make sure that players who are gay will be protected? With a few weeks away from the actual date, that's all going to be really a sticking point.
Yeah, and you think about, you know, all of the different places that the WTA goes, and it's hard to get involved with the politics everywhere. I mean, there's no place that's perfect, but when you think about, you know, this situation in particular, and you know some of the sticking points, which are major obstacles, but it's also about the money as well. It's also about, you know, prize money. It's also about the running of the tour. And you mentioned this, Paul. There's a lot that goes into running the tour over the course of the year. And the WTA Finals provides that money. I mean, for years when I was playing, the tour didn't have a big sponsor and they didn't make enough money from that event. And so it had to come out of players' prize money. That's not what players want to see now. They have that decision on the table from that perspective. There's a lot of different factors to consider. And again, you mentioned the clock is ticking. There is not a lot of time to do it and get a tournament organized on top of it.
This week, next week, a decision will be made?
I'm told this week.
Okay. Yeah. We'll find out, and we will talk about whatever they decide for the WTA Finals later this year. As you can see, the rain is coming down, but guess what? We've got a couple of chapeaus there in Queens. So the play will continue nonetheless when we come back. More highlights from day two. And if you want to watch Americans in action today, we'll tell you which court to focus on. Back in rainy New York City, the Tennis Shop, powered by Tennis Point, is the new online store featuring the latest apparel and equipment. Scan the QR code on your screen or visit tennisshop.com today to search a wide selection of brands. Get the very same gear as your favorite pros. Maybe get the same umbrella as your favorite pros are coming on site with today, because they need them. It is wet and wild in Queens. There is your Wimbledon champion, Marketa Vondrousova, coming in. She's got some doubles today if they get it on. Second round singles tomorrow for her. Highlights from yesterday, your Aussie Open champ, Aryna Sabalenka, can once again overtake Iga Świątek for world number one, depending on her result here, Chanda.
And she got off to a good start. A little tricky at the beginning, though. Zinevska finding the angle there, really pushing Sabalenka to play better, to raise her level, and Sabalenka was able to do it. Overcame some double faults, got that first set tucked away. Zinevska, though, turned the tables beginning of the second, got up 2-love, But Sabalenka is never easy to put away. The movement, good anticipation, and we know how big she can hit the ball from the ground, using the forehand as the big weapon, and closing off the court, playing inside the baseline as often as possible. Those are good signs for Sabalenka. And after getting down the beginning of the second set, she would not lose another game, able to get through in straight sets fairly routinely.
And happy trails to Marina Zanevska, who is retiring after the U.S. Open. Angerber said, "I have the flu. It wasn't going to be easy." She said she considered retiring, John, to be honest, in this match, but she kept fighting against Camila Osorio.
Yeah, there was an email that said, look at you, asthma attack. It was not. It was the flu. She was not feeling well. Remember, this is a player who won six matches here last year, did Jabir, and she really had to battle yesterday. She was up 5-3, then the second set went to a tiebreak, and you wonder, if this gone three sets, how ailing on Jabir would have done. Well, you know what? It didn't have to go that far because she played a very nice tiebreak when she had to. I'm feeling a lot of affection between these two players. And I think Osorio knew that Ahms wasn't at 100%. He had a very nice embrace at the net. A good win for Ahms because she was not feeling it. So battling through, now she's got 2 days to recover.
Linda Noskova is up next for Angerber. Meantime, 2016 champ Paul Stan Wawrinka, still the Swiss number one, taking on the Japanese number one, Yoshi Nishioka.
Yeah, first set was a war. Always love watching Stan Wawrinka dig in and get that battle face going. He played a terrific tiebreak to win 7-6, and then the second set got a relatively early break and used the power groundies to push Nishioka around. He is an awkward matchup. Nishioka, high, heavy, rolling, lefty forehand, really good mover. But Wawrinka showed us just a few glimpses of the great Stan Wawrinka, that power one-hander, also grit, composure, and really just did a nice job. This is a solid straight set victory against a really tough competitor.
12 aces, 38 winners, just 27 unforced errors. Stan, the man, continues on. When we come back, we feature this California teen in our Americans in Action segment. Plus, a look at Caroline Wozniacki's second-round match against a fellow major champion in Petra Kvitova. And a warm and fuzzy visit with none other than Big Foe. Yes, indeed, you don't want to miss that. Paul John Chanda, Steve back on TC Live. Speaking of TC Live, a couple of folks that are regular members of the family here at Tennis Channel.
FaceTiming, Steve. Ooh, in the control room.
It's got to be the baby.
Of course it is. Chanda, you know that is a mom, right?
They're in the control room.
I think it's Mark Huska. They're like, hey, we're comparing schedules. We would both like to be on TC Live together. What a great duo that would be. Court 17 is your home for Tennis Channel alums and Americans, because you got Jenny Brady there as well. Taylor Townsend taking on Beatrice Haddad-Maia. Big Banks against Benjamin Bonzi. Tommy Paul, we need to get him on Tennis Channel. He's in action as well. And then Jen Brady against Magda Linette. But will they play on court 17 today? That's the question.
It's a great court if they actually get matches.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, the rain is right now creating havoc.
It's going to be a big day in the players' lounge.
Yeah. We have some roofs, though.
It's not supposed to rain all
day.
Got
some roofs.
Yeah.
We're, you know.
We'll be all right.
No, we'll be fine.
Just
but
a late
not,
start.
Not
late
them.
Start, that's all.
Exactly. That's we're looking at us and being able to at least watch some tennis.
Oh, yeah. We'll be able
we'll
to watch
some tennis.
All right, let's get you caught up on some American highlights from yesterday from the finalist Madison Keys. Looking to get back to that final round. Good start against Arantxa Rus, Chanda.
She did look excellent. Keys did some shots out of the corner. Sometimes we forget how well Keys moves. We know how big she can hit the ball, how big she can serve, the weapons in her arsenal, but she was on point, crisp up at the net, cutting that ball off, got the first set pretty handily against a player who can compete in Rus. But Keys had a little more margin, giving herself some space along with the power ball. It was good stuff and a perfect way to open up her U.S. Open campaign, a former finalist who's looking to do some damage again this year.
You're laughing. You're laughing at the power.
It's so funny to watch how big Madison hits the ball.
And now she's hitting with margin. Yep. Big with margin. It's kind of scary.
That's a good equation for her.
Now, speaking of hitting big, Alicia Parks does that as well. Got off to a great start in this match, Chanda, against Daria Kazakina.
Yeah, she did. And Parks, you know, she is such a talent. easy power, the athleticism. She's got a big doubles title now under her belt, Cincinnati with Taylor Townsend. So she was playing with some confidence, and it was all going her way in the first set, like target practice against Kasatkina. But Kasatkina is such a tricky player. When she starts weaving her points, she started moving the ball a little more, Kasatkina, hitting with some height, changing the spins at times, got that second set. And the third set, down the stretch, it was Kasatkina who just had a little something extra. That was one of the best shots of the match. It's almost like behind her.
Say hello to my
and
little
she friend. She flicked it, and that was a huge moment, and Kasatkina able to use that momentum to run away with the third set.
Dasha gets another American in the next round, Sophia Kenin, and how about one of the new rising stars on tour, Alex Mickelson.
Here you go, Alex.
Going for his first major win against Albert Ramos-Vinolas, John.
Nice summer for Alex Mickelson. Got to the finals of Newport. Georgia tennis's loss is pro tennis's gain, because Alex Mickelson is here to stay. This is a 35-year-old veteran he's playing, and youth prevailed. A lot to like it. 6-4, but only had six aces, so it's not as though this guy is just serving rockets. He's moving well, plays well off the ground. A composed match, breaks in each set, and boy, player to watch. We talked about Lerner Teen. They played in the Orange County of the CIF Finals 3 years ago. Now they're both in the main draw. Nice win. Not a very happy Spanish veteran opponent, but I like Mickelson. Cracking the top 100 if he wins his next match.
Yeah, that's nice good summer stuff. By the way, Manny Diaz in Georgia. We keep talking about Georgia. It's a good pub for it, exactly. Even though Alex isn't going there. Michael Moe, he got the upset of the day, Paul, facing Corinne Khachanov.
Yeah, nice effort from Michael Moe. Khachanov's been battling injury for a long time now. I spoke with Vedran Martic's coach at length in Cincinnati. He's feeling better, but obviously not good enough. Michael Moe did a really nice job from the back of the court. Such a good athlete is Moe. Look at him coming forward here. That's a beautiful low forehand volley. And those are the shots and strategies that are going to help Michael get to the next level. We know how good of a mover he is. We know how good of a counterpuncher he is. But when he plays proactive tennis like that, brings his game to a different level. And this is a real solid win. 6-2, 6-4, 6-2. And a heck of an effort.
Huge for Michael. He's 25 years old. We've been talking about Michael Moe for a while. But this is his best season yet. Qualified for Australia. Beat Sasha Zverev there. Made the third round. Qualified for Wimbledon. Here he is now in the 80s in the world. What's been the difference this year for Michael Moe?
You know, I think belief is huge. And when you start getting those wins, when you start seeing that you can play against the better players, the top players, it builds on itself. And Michael Moe, he's been playing alongside some of these guys coming up through juniors, the Taylor Fritzes of the world, even, you know, Sasha Zverev, playing through juniors and not quite getting to that level. Now he's seeing that he can come pretty close. And he's such a terrific athlete, a terrific mover around the court. He gets those extra balls back. He's playing smarter tennis as well. He's transitioning into the net when he has opportunities. There is a lot to like about Moe's game, and it's been fun to watch him elevate this season.
That was his 12th match win of the year. Five of those have come against players that have spent time in the top 10. So some real quality wins. Khachanov was a semifinalist last year. Very nice player. Has gone deep into majors at all four of the majors. I don't know what his health status was, and therefore I don't know how much we read into that win by Michael Moe, but still, it's never fun to play an injured opponent, and Khachanov is, you know, this is a top 10 veteran regardless, but I don't know how much we take away from that win yesterday.
Yeah, I wouldn't take a ton away other than he still has to problem solve, right? And he still has to find a way to get through, and a lot of it's getting through your nerves, and so much of the nerves is what Chanda's talking about, his ability to believe in what he can do at the next level, and now we've seen that with 5 out of the 12 wins being top 10 players. Is that what you said? That's really impressive stuff.
Is in there.
And I think the biggest thing is him starting to evolve. We saw some of those points where he's coming forward. We saw him not being as passive and reactive because he's such a great mover and such a great counterpuncher, but that's only going to get him so far. When he starts doing what he did in this match, he's going to get to a new level.
It was Chris Eubanks. It took a little longer for him to make the breakthrough. Yeah. Yeah. Michael Moe's only 25 years old. And his peers love him. Ben Shelton, Taylor Townsend, they were all shouting him out on Instagram yesterday
Francis,
after the win.
He's come up with these players. Yep. He's been right alongside to see them take off and elevate. You know, you kind of wonder, when am I going to have some success, and he's finally having it.
Having it right now. Yeah. Keep going, Michael. Keep doing your thing. We got John Wertheim's Stat of the Day coming up later on the show, plus People Magazine's Stars in the Stands. Who was there in Arthur Ashe Stadium? We will break down all the big matches today on TC Live, and Chan has got our hot shot of the day. Is it that little one from Daria Kazakina? Who came up with the goods? All right, the umbrellas are out in Queens. How nice is that, Chanda, to have somebody hold your umbrella? Madison Keys just walking in, doesn't have to worry about a thing.
I love it. When you are a U.S. Open finalist, Steve, that's the kind of treatment you should have.
From the caddy all the way to the lounge. Gotta love that. All right, time for our hot shot of the day. This one's coming from Andy Murray and Quarantine Moutet.
This was a very entertaining match. Moutet, he can come up with the goods, come up with some shots, but this was Andy Murray's point all the way. The little slice, drop shot, angle, some kind of juju he put on it, Steve.
A little juju.
He put a little, some lanyap. He put something extra. He put a little lanyap on that shot.
Lanyap, oh, all right. Going from Louisiana.
That's right. We pull it deep.
Sloppy, yeah. I love that. Because, I don't know, I kind of thought that Daria Kazakina had a better hot shot of the day.
That
but
was
once you once
little...
you went with that extra zhuzh, that lanyap, now I'm like, all right, maybe it's Andy Murray.
The lanyap is always at the top.
Are you
That's
putting
what we
that
all
in
all,
is that going
we
in everything?
We always want a little lanyap.
Okay.
Got to have it.
We need to have...
And think about it. Andy Murray's all about the lanyap. He's got a metal hip. He's coming back from a lot of things. So I think he deserved that hot shot.
Okay. 200th Grand Slam win. That's a big deal.
A major deal.
For Andy Murray.
And to get through as cleanly as he got through that match was impressive. And for once, I think he saw somebody else on the other side of the court getting more angry and irritated mm-hmm. than he usually gets. So I think he liked that as well.
Well, Francis Tiafoe, he is known to hit a hot shot or two in his time. But right now, it is time for Warm and Fuzzy Foe with Michael Costa.
What comes to mind when you see this? What's this?
Oh, man, that's me with a bunch of cold steak that I'm about to grill. Yes, I'm in my happy moment there. I love steak.
How old were you when this was taken?
About 7.
Okay. And 8. If you could talk to this Francis right now, what would you tell him?
He's doing really well, and life ahead was just as he imagined.
Get him a steak. Francis Tiafoe can still be seen at the U.S. Open. He'll be on Arthur Ashe Stadium. I think every time he plays, he'll be on Arthur Ashe Stadium. And, of course, we'll have more Warm and Fuzzy segments with Michael Costa. You can see those on TennisChannel.com. We'll get you ready for Day 3 with all the big highlights and match previews. Stay close here. TC Live, back after this. Engine number 9 on the New York Transit line. Jessie Pegula looking to pick up her 9th win over Camilla Georgie, John, and get her U.S. Open quest on the right track.
Yeah, we thought this one might be close. It was not close. Jessie Pegula played like the third seed that she is. You'll see it from the highlights. Also, look at the stacking. 90% of her first serve points won. More than half of her return points won. A lot of errors for Georgie, as is the case. A lot of steady tennis for Jessie. Look at the touch here. That's a nice knockoff volley, but she did not necessarily have to be at her best yesterday the way Georgie was spraying balls, but Jessie was at her best. She has to be really pleased about that. Barely an hour's worth of work, very straightforward, 6-2, 6-2. On she goes.
Joining Venus and Serena Williams as the third American woman since 2010 with at least 59 hardcourt wins over two seasons. And speaking of Venus, Queen V headlining the night session inside Arthur Ashe Stadium facing qualifier Breet Minnen. She had a 24th appearance for V at the U.S. Open.
And Venus won her first 21 first-round matches. This one, she would go down again. Minnen played some excellent tennis. She was moving the ball, doing just what she needed to do against Venus, who didn't quite have the movement. The drop shot was working, couldn't get out onto the edges of the court and recover quickly enough. And in the end, it was, you know, a player who's in a rhythm, qualifier coming through, able to get the biggest win of her career.
Had 14 more winners in the match, saved all 6 break points. Let's go inside the press room with Venus Williams after.
For me, I haven't played a lot of matches this year,
So I did, like, I've, you know, the times that I could play, I gave it my all. You know, I got a handful of matches, and it wasn't the year I was expecting, but I gave it everything I had.
What would be the decisive factor in when you choose what you do next? And what would it be?
Well, I wouldn't tell you, so I don't know why you're asking.
We love an honest bee.
She said it with a smile. It kind of blunted the pain of it.
Not telling you, so not sure why you're asking.
The answer is anyway.
Right.
Because you don't know. You don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Did she know at that moment?
Right. I don't know.
This was not a great performance by Venus objectively last night. She beat a top 15 player 2 weeks ago. So, you know, she doesn't know. This is what happens. Consistency is the first thing to go as you... as you age.
Well, and movement too, John. Yeah, and that was, for me, the big difference. Even the win against Kudermetova, where you could see Venus, you know, able to move, able to get out of the corners and kind of recover, reset. She couldn't do that last night against Menon, who played just the perfect type of match that she needed to play. So things kind of coming together, unfortunately, for Venus in that moment, and she just couldn't make much of a stand. But that would be the question for me. Physically, was she as close to 100%? Was that an issue? She did pull out of Cleveland the week before because of for physical issues. So I was concerned about that aspect of it. It was disappointing.
Yeah, we see the up and down at the end of the career in terms of the ability to stay at a real high level, physically in particular, and you talk about last week not being able to play. So clearly there wasn't something going just right for Venus. But, John, you said it just a couple of weeks ago, she played some pretty darn good tennis, so it's not like the level is never there. It just goes up and down a little bit now.
If you didn't see the outfit that she came onto site with last night, go online and check it out. I mean, you won't see anything better the entire tournament.
That's exactly what I wore into work today.
One thing it made you change.
All right. Moving on.
I like this look better on you.
Yeah. Carlos Alcaraz kicked up inside the defense.
This was a tough one, you guys, last night. This is what happened after Venus, is Carlos went on that first game, 6 points in. Watch the ankle right there, the left ankle. That is a tough one for Kepfer. Goes over on it, and it looked pretty benign when you watch the point, but then you saw it in slow motion, and you could see he just struggled, just couldn't get going, couldn't push off, talking to his box, talking to Coach Ryan Williams up in the box there. What do I do? How do I play a guy this good? And I can't move, and movement's one of his biggest assets. And for Alcaraz, it was just a little bit of a hit around the corner, right? Just kind of got a little hit in, hit a few balls here and there. 6-2 first set, 3-1 the second. Really not much Kupfer could do, and he really decided at this point, you know what, guys, I just can't do it. Really a heartbreaker for him.
Did you hear that buzz the entire match?
You guys, I want you to know that look at the comparison. Does he have to pay any rights fees for any of the TV stuff? Because it's the... Huska, do we get any fees from that? I mean, look at the contrast in the shirt. Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that.
We color bars. Okay.
That's awesome.
TV went off. Well done, it's over. Huska. Match is over. And...
yeah,
his shirt showed it,
and he was done. This is another one of those matches, you know, that didn't last too long. Chanda, Daniil Medvedev setting up his own bakery inside Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Was Ballas hurt?
You know, we tend to think that he just couldn't quite move. Shots like that one, where he couldn't get to it, was one of 40 plus winners from Medvedev over the course of the match. Just over an hour of tennis. And he just had his pick of places to go to all match long. And in the end,
yikes,
pretty routine for Medvedev. He's a great hardcore player, but this match kind of looked like his opponent was a little hampered.
Can I steal a line from you? Two breadsticks and a bagel?
Yeah.
That's a lot of carbs.
He was carving up. He's ready to go. That's what we're having tonight at your house, right, Paul?
Yeah, exactly.
All the carbs, all the noodles. Elizabeth's going to cook a great meal. New York loving Andy Murray, 2012 champ, in action against Corentin Moutet.
And he was on the ropes in the second set. Moutet served for this second set. Look at a little magic. First there were smiles from Moutet, then there was anger and a lot of... jawing with the box, and boom, goes the racket. And Andy says, not yet, gang. I am still here. I am fighting. So fun to see Andy Murray when he gets locked in and does the nice thing with the balance, which Mute does not have. This was a little bit scary, but then I looked in slow motion, guys, and the ankle didn't really go over. I was more worried about his arm when he hit the elbow down on the court. But he got up, and it wasn't too long later that Andy took him down for the count and won in straight sets. Murray did a good job. It's fun to watch him with that balance of offense and defense when he plays it just right, and that's what he did.
200th major victory for Andy Murray. Well, we come back with his wife and kids on court and a big farewell ceremony. See why John Isner is not ready to end his final dance.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back on TC Live, a reminder to download the U.S. Open app to follow your favorite players, track the latest scores, stats, match highlights, player news, and much more. It is available in the App Store and Google Play Store. Back to the highlights. A little rain there in Queens, by the way. Time for the Gems Life highlights. We start with Sky's mom. Former U.S. Open semifinalist Elena Svitolina needing less than an hour to finish her work on court, Chanda.
Things were a bit tight at this point, but it was Svitolina up a break, and she started playing much more aggressively, coming in, hitting out on her shots from the ground. I mean, this is a step up in the Svitolina we saw before she became a mom, and it was working. It was paying off for her. Stepping in on that backhand, that is the money shot for Svitolina, such a solid part of her game. And when she's firing on all cylinders this way, combined with the movement and her ability to compete, it made for a fairly routine day at the office, getting done in straight sets.
Now back in the top 25 of the live rankings just 4 months after coming off maternity leave. Meanwhile, Sky's Papa also working on Tuesday, also on court 17. Gal Monfils-Jahn needing a little more time on court against Taro Daniel.
Yeah, look at Sky's nanny didn't have to go far. With the first section, here come the his. Dropped the first set, did Monfils, who, like his wife, was a former semifinalist at this event, and then really turned it on. I think he's got to be thrilled by the score line, by the stat line. He had 23 aces, 68 winners. But I think he also has to be happy with the rhythms of this match. He just got better and better. And for the second oldest player in the draw, he did great physically. We had some showboat shots. We had some fun rallies. Very, very solid win over a tough competitor in Taro Daniel. And for Gael Monfils, I don't know if he has 7 matches in him, but he's got a few more. Very solid outing yesterday, guys.
Successful day for mom and dad. Gems Life shining. Monfils gets Andrei Rublev in the next round. How about John Isner? He had all his kids around for his match against Facundo Diaz Acosta, but there is no retirement yet for the big man, Paul.
Yeah, you see the big sigh just going onto the court, trying to probably catch his breath and remain focused. He doesn't want it to end just yet, and that's a good way to start off the match. Really did what he always does, takes care of his service games, gets the first set. Yes, guys, gets up a set and 3-0 without a tiebreak.
Wow,
that doesn't happen often, but he was playing some good power tennis with John Isner, using the big forehand, and he gave the fans what they wanted in the third set, gang. He said, you know what, I got to throw in one tiebreak for this match. How about the two-handed pass? He was hitting the ball incredibly cleanly, looked very loose and relaxed, which is tough to do when all this is on the line to finish it.
Didn't face a break point, but almost broke down after the match with James Blake.
This sport, as I said, without tennis, I wouldn't have met my wife, and I wouldn't have the amazing family that I have. Four beautiful kids. The support I've had for the last 17 years on tour has been amazing, and it's not goodbye yet. So I'm still alive. And you know, I'm actually feeling pretty good. So I want to try to keep this thing going as long as I possibly can. And I'm going to need you guys behind me every step of the way. Please, thank you.
All right, the ceremony's out of the way. So now he can just, go back to work, right? He's got Michael Moe next. He's still playing doubles with Jack Sock as well. What's it like knowing that every match could potentially be your last one?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I didn't actually play in that kind of situation. My last match at the U.S. Open, I didn't know when I was playing it that it was going to be my last. So I think there's a certain beauty in that, the fact that he's able to decide and go out on his own terms. But at the same time, you've got all this emotion that you come into every single match with, and certainly the first one, where you want to get over the hurdle. You want to at least get your first match under your belt. Isner was able to do that. So I would imagine he can relax a little bit more, play the kind of tennis we've seen him play throughout his career, which is big man's tennis, big serving, attacking tennis. That's the type of tennis he'll need to play against Mo, but it's a great opportunity for him to keep progressing in the draw.
Yeah, but we talked about this a little bit with Venus. You know, a team sport, it's easy, right? It's my last year. Here's my last game. Here it is on the schedule. With tennis, individual sports, who knows? So on the one hand, you saw it in the background, Sam Querrey and the Bryans were there, and it was going to be a ceremony. On the other hand, he's thinking, wait a second, I'm up 2 sets to love. I'm serving pretty well. Why are we having this ceremony? I'm going to keep going here. So I think it just goes to this point. It's really hard to make these decisions for athletes, and I think we need to give them a lot of grace, both in terms of making that decision and playing through it.
Yeah, you have to give them a little bit of latitude in terms of figuring out how and when they're going to do it. And for a guy like John Isner, look, he's one of these players that he has such a huge weapon that no one wants to play him ever, and it's not going to be easy. So now he has a terrific opportunity. Like you guys said, he's gotten past that first match where everyone was there. Is this going to be it? No, it's not it. Now he gets to loosen up and play Michael Moe, who's a great defender, really good mover and counterpuncher, but it's a good matchup for John, so it should be a fun one.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And 11 more aces to that record extending total for John Isner in the match. And he'll add more against Michael Moe as well, for sure. Well, from the veterans to the youngsters, smells like teen spirit in New York City. Let's preview some matches going on today. We got Coco Gauff taking on Mira Andreeva. This is a rematch from Roland Garros. That one went 3 sets, Chanda. And young Mira says, I want some revenge. How do you see this one going?
You know, I think, it should be another good match. I think Coco, she used her maturity in that match at Roland Garros. Andreeva came out firing, using her full game. Gauff able to reset and really settle into the match. I think this match now will be a little easier because they played at Roland Garros and there was so much buildup around it. I think the hard courts also favor Gauff a little bit more. The slower clay gave Andreeva some more opportunities to get into points and into rallies. She doesn't have a big weapon, and Gauff does. Gauff can take the racket out of opponent's hand with her serve. She's hitting bigger from the ground. So I think that's going to be the way to go for her. But Andreeva, if she can get Gauff missing a little bit, if she can get her just a little unsettled, she's got a good shot in this match as well. So I'm looking forward to it. But I've liked how Gauff has looked overall mentally.
Coco's looked amazing. Also, remember at Roland Garros, Mira was like, I want to play on the big courts. Now she gets Arthur Ashe Stadium against
the biggest court.
The biggest court in the world. That should be a good one to watch. Another rematch from the clay court season. Dominic Thiem beat Ben Shelton in Estoril. What do you think happens on the hard courts?
What do we think about that one? A little lefty-righty, former champion. What do you think?
I'm leaning towards Ben on the hard courts, guys. I mean, Ben's got a great opportunity for revenge here, right? He can use the lefty serve, try to swing Thiem off the court. And remember, it's so great to see Thiem win his first round match, right? But he hasn't won a lot of 3 out of 5 set matches. This is a different Dominic Thiem right now. He's always dangerous. But to me, this is on Ben Shelton's racket. If he plays well, he wins this match.
Trying to get some more bragging rights on his dad, Brian. well, who never made it past the second round in New York. Ben has the opportunity to do that at the U.S. Open. And then Daria Saville, she's taken on Iga Swiatek, John. She said before the match, my goal is not to get double bageled. So set the expectation, set the bar low, right? Right.
That's one way to look at it.
It's got to be higher than that. Yeah. Her goals.
That's what she said.
Under promise, over deliver. Interesting mentality before you go and face the defending champion, the Moscow-born Aussie. She just doesn't have any weapons to hurt Iga with. Iga can be vulnerable to certain kinds of players. She sure looked good in her first match, but. Yeah, it's hard to see. I think give her some games. Daria Saville will not get double bagged. I said it here. That's how.
Way to go out on a limb. That's awesome.
I don't know if she's pushing the defending champion much, though. I just don't see how.
She's had some upsets. She's had 13 top 10 wins. A lot of injury issues for Dasha, right? I mean, 62 matches over the last 5 years. This will be the 63rd match this year for Iga Swiatek, but looking forward to it. Well, we've got upset predictions later in the show, and this is what we have for you coming up every day. TC Live, the four of us, 9 a.m. Eastern, leading up to coverage on ESPN at noon Eastern, the night session at 7 Eastern, and more of the Big Show coming up after a quick break. Welcome back. Here comes Alexander Zverev. He doesn't even need an umbrella. No need. For the Brawley, for the German, takes on Daniel Altmaier on Thursday in the second round. So just practice, maybe getting in some practice, some physio work as well. Before every day at the U.S. Open, Steve Tigner giving you his three to see, a trifecta of top matches. These are the ones today, three blockbusters. Steve only picked one of the Americans to win. Find out who. Check it out on tennis.com. Ben or Coco? Our own Tracy Austin, the Hall of Famer, going to be our guest on TC Live tomorrow, two-time U.S. Open champ.
Always good to see Tracy.
It sure is. Look at young Tracy. By the way, Mira Andreeva, the only player who has a chance to break that record, is the youngest to ever win U.S. Open. So maybe Tracy rooting for Coco. Who knows? Venus Williams, this is what you said you wore when you arrived to the studio today.
I was talking about the top part of it. This is
Coco. Oh, now we've moved on.
Yeah, we're going to Coco Vandeweghe. Also, not an easy way to say goodbye. She's had a rough go of it with the injuries. It's not going to be fun to say goodbye. I loved watching the serve and volley game. We saw some great tennis from her. But next chapter, it'll be a good one for Coco.
Yeah, what a career that she has had. Look at the semifinals of the U.S. Open in 2017. Won a Billie Jean King Cup title for the U.S., and she was dominant in her matches. I think that, for me, was one of the special Coco Vandeweghe moments. And, of course, she's a Grand Slam doubles champion as well. Top 10 in the world. Amazing career.
Great athlete, Olympian. Very fine career. There's only one Coco left now. All the Coco pressure's on you, Goff.
Vandeweghe is the OG of the Cocos. And like you said, Chan, I mean, that 2017, when it was the Fed Cup, she absolutely ruled. And hey, now we're back
to the tops.
Venus Williams.
I wore the top. I had that same tux.
I think you can pull it off, though.
With that flower on the lapel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Flower, big time flower.
When you look like this kind of star, why are you carrying your own rabbit bag?
Yeah.
We get rid of that. Let somebody else carry that behind you.
I think it's a great accent to that little bag, right? So you're like, not only do I have my little bag, but I got my big bag, too.
She's got it covered. Got it covered. I like it.
We need a Christian Dior or like somebody.
You're
going
to have to check your bag, man. Don't you like this about tennis, though? The self-sufficiency and the message that sends. Even Venus Williams, dressed like that, still has to carry her own gear.
Slay queen. I mean, how about that?
Great job.
What else we got?
What else do we have? Well,
looks like the...
you can't buy that outfit at usopenshop.org, but you can get the official shop for the 2023 U.S. Open merchandise, gear for the whole family. Check out a variety of one-of-a-kind U.S. Open accessories. Visit usopenshop.org today. When we come back, People Magazine stars in the stance. Who was watching the tennis yesterday? It's getting active in the gym. The gym's going to be a busy place today with all the rain.
Open is brought to you in part by Tennis Express.
We deliver tennis right to your front door. Order today, shipped today.
It's that time. Who was in the stands? Stars in the stands. People, stars in the stands. There is. We had a queen on court, and we had a queen in the stands. Queen Latifah was out there, Chanda.
I love seeing Queen Latifah in New York. She did some voice stuff last year, right? For Serena's retirement ceremony. And, you know, she's got to be there every year. That's a requirement. Is a requirement.
How about the shirt? Well, we like the Jimi Hendrix one, too, right?
Absolutely. Very cool.
Like the whole outfit. And how about one of the twins? Danny DeVito in the house.
My question is, how do you think he got there? Did he go by Uber or by taxi?
Actually, I think he took a lift.
Okay, you two are doing the most right now.
Good to see the stars out, though, right?
Jersey Mike's spokesman, I'll have you know.
Oh, that's
single.
Right.
He's on the dating market.
It's always sunny in Philadelphia, but not in New York. In New York.
All right.
For more stars in the stands, visit people.com. We got all the jokes at the end of the show.
Motley Crue we are this morning, guys. A Motley Crue.
Where's the music? It is time for Wertheim Stat of the Day.
There we go. We need the Shazam out for this. pretty fine day yesterday for Great Britain. Look at some of these results. Male, female, veterans, younger players. Jack Draper, such a talented player. Nice to see him healthy. Dan Evans has already won a title this year. We talked about Andy Murray. How about bottom right, Yuriko Miyazaki, former Oklahoma Sooner, born in Tokyo, now plays for the UK. Rough tournament for some countries, not you, Canada. But great day yesterday for the Brits. No Brexiting from the main draw men and women yesterday. 7-0.
I like that. We got the former Sooner. We also have the former TCU Horned Frog, Cam Norton.
Well, four on the top didn't lose a set, I don't think, yesterday.
Didn't the former LTA employee Paul Anico?
That's right.
The fruits of your labor right there.
Yeah, good to see my buddy Dan Evans playing some good tennis. I'll tell you what, he played well in Washington. He's playing well. Good win yesterday. And Cam Norrie, straight sets. But Jack Draper's tough. Injuries.
Huh?
Yeah. Such a nice young guy. And, boy, he's got a big game. Hopefully he can stay nice and healthy.
Featured matches on Arthur Ashe Stadium today. Some good ones. These are getting in no matter what. They got the roof there. Coco Gauff, Mira Andreeva, battle of the teens. Novak Djokovic has never lost in the first two rounds of the U.S. Open. The only major where he's never lost before the third round. 17-0 first rounds, 15-0 in second rounds. Francis Tiafoe in action. And how about that last match of the night? Petra Kvitova, Caroline Wozniacki. Let's talk about some of these, starting with Big Foe. Sebastian Offner, he's never beaten a top 10 guy, never taken a set off of a top 10 guy. And Francis came out really solid form against Lerner Tien in the first round. What do you expect today?
Yeah, more of the same. Francis is very open. He builds his year to peak right around now. So it's peak time. I don't think Offner's got much to hurt him with. Part of the Dominic Thiem camp is Offner, but I think Francis ought to be okay. Very different opponents. This is what you do when you try to win majors. The road goes in strange directions. I think Francis will be fine.
Yeah, I like this matchup for Francis. Obviously, getting through the first rounds. I mean, those are always, for any player, the trickiest one. You just don't know quite where you might start out, how much you may have to build. I think with that first round performance, he's got to be feeling pretty good, using the weapons, using the serve, using his speed around the court. He's playing with a lot more authority in big moments. I think that's going to be key. And playing like a top 10 player. I mean, you want to get into a match, let the guy on the other side know this is what you got to contend with. Can you do it 3 out of 5 sets? And I think Francis is going to do a terrific job in that.
You're a big fan of the outfit too, the sleeves and
I'll tell you what, bringing a lot of color and a lot of variety.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was a little weird when you showed up in it today for work.
Yeah. Well, I didn't go.
You did better than I did. Let's leave it at that.
I was just trying to flex on everybody.
Yeah, I like it. But look, Francis loves New York and he plays well there. But this is the one I'm looking at today, guys.
Yeah.
Huh?
I thought you were going to go with Sebastian Offner's middle name. But first we go to the Tennis Express head-to-head between Petra Kvitova and Caroline Wozniacki. 8-6 overall. They played 14 times already. First match was back in 2009, Chanda.
Come on, Chanda. What do you got?
This goes way back in terms of the matchup. And I love these kinds of matchups because there's such familiarity. But both players are in very different places in their career. Even now, Petra Kvitova coming off of a terrific year. She's won a title in Miami, a big one. Won a title on grass as well. You know, so you like to favor Kvitova in some ways because of it, but Wozniacki understands how to play on these courts. She likes the conditions. She's been playing a little bit of inspired tennis, and the fact that she's been comfortable in this matchup, it's pretty close in terms of head-to-head, I think that gives her a little boost of confidence as well. So, you know, this is a tricky one. I think Kvitova has the edge, but Wozniacki could surprise the people.
I'm going three sets for this one. I don't know who's going to win, but the fans are going to get their money's worth tonight.
I think so.
Arthur Ashe Stadium. Might be quick, though, to start with Novak Djokovic in that night session. What do you make of his match?
I'll tell you what, after watching him the other night and seeing how locked in he is after Cincinnati, it is going to be tough to stop the Novak Djokovic train. It's tough to stop the L train in New York. It's really tough to stop the Novak Djokovic train. And he's just buttoned up, and he's so keyed into the big events now. And I think he's playing with even more freedom to me, which I think is scarier for the players, because I think he's really so comfortable with what he's done and what he wants to do that it allows himself to play the big moments so well. We've seen it so many times in his career, and even now, as the window is closing, it's closing very slow for him because he's such a physical specimen, but it is closing, he seems really relaxed and comfortable. I just love watching him play. I don't think this is going to be a tough match for Novak.
He's looking for his 40th win of the season. 17 years.
I was going to say, all players should have windows closed right
now, right?
two majors and just beat the number one player in the world 10 days ago. No, I think also Novak really has grown to like this tournament. I mean, I think initially, you know, he's only won it three times, but I think he likes the atmosphere. He got out there after 11 p.m. for his first round match. Not a complaint, a frown, no indication. He was at all rattled. Now it'll be back to normal. I can't imagine he's not winning in straight sets.
All right. Before we go, prediction for Mira Andreeva, Coco Gauff, Chanda.
I think it's Coco. I think Coco's going to have the poise. She's got the confidence. She's got the game, playing even more aggressively than she was playing in Paris early this year when she beat Andreeva. So I like Coco in this one.
Right.
Do I need to say two or three sets, or does that matter?
Two sets. What do you say? Two or three sets?
I'm good. Coco.
Two. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you put it out there.
Four and two. Coco Gauff. 4-2.
Four and two.
Six games. I'll take that. 3-3.
I was going to say a couple of sets, but, you know.
All right. Coco and two.
You pressed me, sir.
You pushed
me into it.
You put it out there, and I was like, now I kind of want to know what Chanda Rubin thinks about how many sets this is. The four of us back tomorrow to get you set for day four. Enjoy the tennis today, and thanks for watching TC Live at the U.S. Open.